In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Egg proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Squad.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 238 of No Borders, No Race, your J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And man, how about that M-Flow news from 2 weeks ago? We ended our last episode with a track from their new album, Kyo, and then suddenly, BAM! They're announced for Anime Boston 2020. This will be my second time seeing them live, so I'm wicked excited to see them showcasing their skills and talent in my own home turf. On today's episode of No Borders, No Race, we look at the new World War I flick, 1917, as well as the new Netflix animated series, Kippo, and the Age of Wonder Beats, as well as Funimation's Bofuri, I Don't Want to Get Hurt, so I'll max my defense. And yes, as you can probably guess, that's originally a light novel series. But first, I think it's time I spruce up a little bit of my Japanese language skills. Nihon no minasan, mo ichido nihongo yoyoku no mo hitotsu no edition ga yatte kimashita. Mazu, Netflix wa anime no streamingo hoho ni mondai ga arimasu. Anime wa maishou kodai kokoku ni tayotte iru ので Netflix が使用している便字モデルは日本では声優と同じようには機能しません。だから私は解決策を思いつきました。日本で吠えが始まる前に Netflix が望む言語で全てのアニメをダブします。この方法だと Netflix は一度に全てのダビングが終わるのを待つことなく毎週すぐにエピソードを放映できます。次に新しいアニメシリーズ異種族リビューアーズについて話したく思います。私のポッドキャストのこの文部の翻訳を手伝ってくれる人が私を不気味だと思わないようにしたいので番組の内容については触れません。とても面白いアニメですが子供向きではありません。人前で見ないでください。それだけです。最後にサンダーキャッツフランチャイズは最新シリーズサンダーキャッツローでひどい改造をされたと思います。アニメーションは見にくいし声優の演技は間抜けで言葉で言えないくらいまずいです。逆でください。子供向けに作られたからと言われても全く言い訳です。オリジナルは子供向けに作られたもので最高でした。このバージョンはゴミです。サンダーキャッツロールはクソだれ。 And a special thank you to my Japanese teacher Hattori Sensei for helping me to translate that. For more information on her Cultural Exchange Initiative program, please go check out their website at ceinitiative.org. And yes, I know that I weaseled out of having to explain what the show Interspecies Reviewers is about to her. I ain't telling my teacher what that show's about. Incidentally, I think she was surprised by my knowledge of the word kusotare, which is the Japanese equivalent of calling someone or something a shitbag. Gomi is a great word for garbage too, by the way, and it can sound wicked intimidating if you say it with the right tone. Although it's interesting how I can know the curse words. without any issue whatsoever. But that's being an American for you. We're always looking at the curse words in different languages before anything else. Because, I don't know, we're kind of like that. Anyways, let's head back to this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all of their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're going to start things off with the Anisong darling Asuka, who just released a new single called The Sun Shower, which serves as the theme song to the laid-back camp short series Room Camp. Right now, we're going to spin an excellent B-side from that single, one that goes by the name of 1,000 Miles.
Thank you.
From the compilation album Flesh, that was The High Lows with Natsu Nandana. Frontman Hiroto Komoto and guitarist Masatoshi Mashima these days take the helm of the band The Cro-Magnons, whose recent single Crane Game was unleashed last September. Hopefully that'll mean a new album will be coming their way very shortly. It's quite interesting how World War I has returned to the spotlight. Yes, it recently had its 100-year anniversary of its finish, but you rarely see it being given as much respect as World War II. Perhaps it's due to the fact that the atrocities committed by the Axis power were far greater than the evils brought forth during the Great War. But I digress. The fact of the matter is, World War I isn't looked at as strongly as many of the other wars. Hell, there isn't even a World War I memorial in Washington, D.C., despite the aid the American armies gave during those ferocious battles. So I was taken by surprise by the new film 1917, directed by Sam Mendes. The film follows the long and harrowing journey of two British soldiers as they try to reach another platoon to deliver a message. A message that, if not delivered, could cost the lives of thousands of soldiers, including that of the brother of one of the messengers. What makes this film so enthralling is the fact that it's presented as if it was filmed in two long takes, with only a break in time halfway through. It's all so fluid, and you can barely tell where one shot ends and another begins. Now, what does a gimmick like a seemingly single take deliver for a film like 1917? The answer to that is simple. Immersion. Because there are no cutaways or scenes spliced in there, you don't feel like you're just a mere audience member watching a film. You're like a third soldier joining these two on this dangerous mission. From small, jokey conversations to a mishandling of barbed wire, you feel like you are playing a role in this journey to deliver a very important and life-saving notice. So when the more dangerous aspects of war suddenly show up, it shakes you to the core because you feel like you're there to be a part of it all. And when something like a rat accidentally triggers a trap, it'll make you jolt like you wouldn't believe. As such, there is a realism to this film that a lot of war films lack at delivering because of this immersion. You see these two men practically transforming from seemingly carefree guys into emotionally and physically scarred humans who just went through more turmoil in 24 hours than most soldiers do in a month. And it shows well in the acting of George MacKay and Dean Charles Chapman, the two men who play Lance Corporals Schofield and Blake. It plays as a good character study of how one day can change the mentality of a soldier, especially those who are pushed into dangerous situations. One other thing about 1917 that surprised me was the length it took between filming and its premiere. Now, I have a few friends in the film business, as you may know, and normally movies with this level of production take at least a year to go through the ringers and spliced up perfectly after filming has been wrapped. Mendes and his crew somehow managed to make this movie starting in April of 2019 and crafted its final cut just in time for its premiere on December 4th, 2019. 8 months! That's it! And it's magnificent seeing how a movie that looks and feels like this could be made in such little time. So if you got the chance, please go see 1917 at a theater near you. The funny thing is, I went to the movie theater to see that Korean film Parasite everyone's talking about, and that screening wound up being sold out. So I took in 1917 as a backup, and I honestly think I got the better theater experience seeing that on the big screen rather than waiting for it to, like, come out on home video or streaming. But all in all, I think I made the right choice in watching 1917 on the big screen, and I hope you do the same. It's nominated for a bunch of Oscars, and it's very easy to see why critics and moviegoers alike have been taken in by its production. It's a great film, trust me. Go and see 1917. And now, let's return to the playlist. Germany's Mono Inc. have returned with their 11th album, The Book of Fire, which tells the tale of a mythical artifact that tells of all the world's secrets and the young healer in the Dark Ages that just so happens to take hold of them. It is a fucking badass record and probably the first great power metal album of 2020, maybe even of the decade. From The Book of Fire, here are Mono Inc. with The Last Crusade.
Program.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
to legendary Loudness with The Lines Are Down from their classic album Thunder in the East. Loudness has just been announced as one of the many bands playing at this year's Sabaton Open Air on August 5th through the 9th, which will also feature Twilight Force, Freedom Call, and I'm sure a plethora of other bands that AFLM of Wicked Anime loves to death. This next band used to go by the name Servinci, but has since taken a new identity in the form of King New. They just released a new album called Ceremony, and from that record is Overflow.
was ich sag nicht nein und führ dir Nagetiere ein.
From 2009's Liebest für alle da. This August and September, the German metal gods will be embarking on their first US tour in 8 years, bringing their high octane shows to stadiums across the country. Myself and the Wicked Anime Bros will be at the Foxborough gig on September 6th, and I am immensely excited to see them live again. So on my previous episode, I spent a lot of time bashing on Netflix's treatment of Japanese animation. And to me, that's really the only big issue I have with Netflix, as the streaming site has done a lot of good when it comes to showcasing original programming, indie movies, and some very surprising visual spectacles that would have gone ignored had it not been for the company's push. And despite their treatment of anime, the best showcasing work they do is for their animated programs. From BoJack Horseman and Disenchantment to Captain Underpants and Hilda, these cartoons managed to gain massive cult followings and popularity amongst kids and adults alike. One such series that has taken me by surprise is Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. The story follows Kippo, a girl who has lived underground her entire life, being forced out into the open world after fleeing her home. She goes on a quest to find her father, and along the way, befriends a girl raised by wolves, a surface survivor, and his mutant insect best friend. Together, the four seek to aid Kippo on her journey, as they come across various creatures called mutes and discover clues on the missing father's whereabouts. The cartoon was animated by Mir, a Korean studio best known for their works on The Boondocks, The Legend of Korra, and Voltron Legendary Defender. As such, there is a very anime-like style that's presented, albeit with a smoother animation and expressions. When watching it, I found myself comparing it visually to both Ben 10 and even the original Teen Titans, so it has this sort of familiarity to its style, but presented in a way that's fresh. And that freshness comes from the imaginative creatures that Kippo, Wolf, Benson, and Dave come across. From business-suited frogs and guitar-playing snakes to a goo monster who can create perfect dreams and fantasies, these allies and foes are showcased with a hint of originality that keeps everything about this series eye-popping and whimsical. The soundtrack is amazing too, with its mixture of hip-hop and folk sounds. It's like a mixture of Beck, M.I.A., and Skinny Lister, but it meshes perfectly. Of course, the story in Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beasts is very beautiful to behold. It has its fun and exciting elements, but moments involving Kippo's surprising changes and the like play as strong metaphors for one's means of growing up. The strength of friendship is showcased wonderfully throughout the way Kippo, Wolf, Benson, and Dave grow to trust and like each other. It's done with laughs, tears, and surprises throughout the show's first season. And there's a fun little twist that happens between Kippo and Benson in episode 6 that I don't want to spoil here, but Let's just say it takes one of these journey-filled tropes and puts a nice little brick wall right between its destination in a very funny yet very much lifelike manner. And trust me, I felt like Kippo there when Benson says what he says, because I've lost count of how many times that has happened to me. But anyways, you can catch Kippo in the Age of Wonder Beast on Netflix right now. There has been no word on whether or not it'll get a second season, but I honestly hope it does. It's a great cartoon for viewers of all ages, so do check it out when you get a chance. Sumie Uesaka is back with a brand new album called Neo Propaganda. Here's a cut from that record entitled Blast Sparkle.
Podcast.
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
Knock, 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 you know the heavens door.
Jazz Punks with Knock 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 from their Albon Akabon album. This May, Stance Punks will be playing a string of shows that will be focused on their early years, with songs from their 2001 to 2003 era. And speaking of bands that will be revisiting their classics, American punk band Waves will be hitting the road this spring in celebration of the 10th anniversary of their breakthrough album, King of the Beach. This was the album where the band evolved their sound into the surf punk that's been a staple of their sound since then. From King of the Beach, here are Waves with Idiot.
Laugh, I bet you laugh. Bet you laugh right behind my back. I won't ever die. I'll go surfing in my mind. I'm not supposed to be a kid.
But I
listen of that Cyndi Lauper classic. That was Puffy with Girls Just Wanna Have Fun from their 2009 covers compilation, Puffy AmiYumi Puffy. Interestingly enough, the duo originally sang this song with Cyndi herself on her The Body acoustic record, which had her doing many of her hits in a stripped-down manner. Speaking of hits, you ever want to play a video game but are afraid of getting too much damage during a big mission? Well, the best way to keep that from happening is upping your defense points as much as you can, though it's always best to add some stats to your offensive mechanisms. But if you're like Kaede, the main character in a new anime series I'm watching, you may find out that the best offense is a great defense. Buffery, I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense. Well, the title explains itself, doesn't it? The character of Kaede gets hooked into playing a VR fantasy video game. Since she's never played video games before, Kaede decides that because she doesn't want to get harmed, she'll put all of her skill points into defense. This results in her becoming a shield warrior of sorts, as well as the most adorable tank character around. She's slow but powerful, using her massive shield to literally squish enemies and take the treasures they leave behind. So I was kind of hesitant to jump into Buffery, as I've been so overwhelmed by isekai anime over the course of the fall 2019 season. Fortunately, I found out quickly that this isn't an isekai. It's a straight-up fantasy comedy show that has a bit more in common with Sword Art Online. You know, a good cure-to-less Sword Art Online. And it's very funny seeing this newbie like Kaede diving into video games for the first time, as she fights monsters, embarks in player versus player battles, and discovers treasure and items that'll better her equipment. And when her friend Risa comes jumping in and offers some of her own help, it results in some good buddy comedy mechanics. The animation company in charge of this, Silverlink, is one of those production crews that can be either good or bad. They were amazing with Nonambiori and Tanaka-kun is Always Listless, but they were all too good with Masamune-kun's Revenge and Wise Man's Grandchild. Fortunately, it appears that Buffery is taking a fantasy cue from Wise Man's Grandchild and fusing its personality with that of Nonambiori. So you've got some superpowered characters with very adorable and funny traits that make it a joy to watch. As such, the anime does a better job with delivering memorable characters and placing them in a video game setting that legit feels like it'd be a blast to be a part of ourselves. Thus far, Buffery, I don't want to get hurt so I'll max out my defense, is turning out to be one of this season's biggest surprises. It's cute, funny as hell, has a sprinkling of good action, actually a lot of good action, especially in episode 4, and some fine character development. You can catch Buffery on Funimation, where it is also getting the simuldub treatment. Watch it, it is a lot of fun. Here's a duo that's becoming very familiar to the anime fandom thanks to their contribution to the series Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken. They're called Kelmiko, and they're the perfect blend of Puffy, Tsubamoto, and Salt and Pepper. From their 2019 album Fishing, this is Balloon.
Dream baby. 曖昧にしとくべきなのさ本当は約束未満で進行してくいろんなものいろんなことぼやけたまま生活僕はもう君のことを忘れるよ昨日愛したエイリアンはもう飛んでたならもう何もいらないこれ以上優しくしないでよ僕の匂いにしてしまいたい本当は今すぐ会いたいんだ風船が弾けた音を横で聞いたうずくまって包んだお守りみたいにその手首をもう一度嗅ぎたいよなんでだろう弾けた音を横で聞いたうずくまって包んだお守りみたいにその手首をもう一度嗅ぎたいよなんでだろう
Hi, this is Clay Inferno and you're listening to I Think This Is Great! I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is an interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. Hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor. Once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating. And please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Yeah.
dark depths of Oslo, Norway. That was Mayflower, Madam with Vultures. That is their most recent single from their upcoming album, Prepared for Nightmare, which arrives in stores on March 27th. So be sure to pick that up when it gets released. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Mono Inc. and Mayflower Madam, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to Sixth Crowd for last week's contribution to Stainless Tuesdays. Nice to have a fellow otaku participating in that. And if you don't know what I mean by that, go and read what their playlist was inspired by. You might be surprised. In less than a month, PAX East will be happening. I'll be there reporting from the convention floor for the Electric Sisterhood. So keep your eyes peeled for any write-ups and some on-the-floor interviews. Today, we're going to be ending the show by welcoming you to an erotic paradise. I can't help but play this song, as it's seriously the top contender for anime theme of the year. And knowing what I talked about last week, you know what's coming. Here are Yusuke Kobayashi, Junji Majima, and Miyu Tomita with the opening theme to Interspecies Reviewers, Ikoze Paradise. Until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Sa, minna isshou ni
Tsukebe ga daisuki Tenno, iko genki dasute Tenno, iko so daro
Eroi koto
Tsuki naraba Shuzoku koeta nakama sa
Kimochi yoku naritai
Mukou ze
Kitae zuzuketa
Mukou ze
Onore no buki wo
Mukou ze
Ima furu toki da
Let's go to paradise 向こうぜ
冒険者なら
向こうぜ
楽園目指し
向こうぜ
一目気にせずに
可愛いビル見つけた
いよいよいつもきついだろ
こっちのお店はどうですか
なるほどそこなら最強じゃん
そう楽しんで
はあるんじゃない？
デカさが全てじゃないけどな。
やっぱり男はハードだろ。そう楽しんで。
ようこそ。今夜も楽しんで。
That should have been the end of this episode, playing that wonderful opening theme to Interspecies Reviewers. I had everything all set up, everything ready to go up. Episode was in the can. But then, Friday night, Funimation dropped a major bombshell regarding Interspecies Reviewers, where they announced that they are no longer going to be simulcasting it. On top of that, all plans of doing the simuldub have been dropped completely. Apparently, they felt that this material that's in this show, which is an adult show, literally tells you it's going to be an adult show in the beginning of every single episode, was too adult for Funimation. A company that has showcased such series as High School DxD, The Testament of Sister New Devil, Valkyrie Drive, and the Senran Kagura anime series. Shows that have so much fan service and whatnot. Now, I get that Interspecies Reviewers is a lot more risque than these shows. But to me, that's good that anime, mainstream anime, not some, to be blunt, not some hentai, is trying to showcase, you know, sex humor. Physical sex humor, mind you, in a more mainstream way. Granted, a TVMA mainstream way. Same way you would watch something like Big Mouth or something on HBO or even FX, which has showcased live-action sex on their shows. And the fact that Funimation has dropped this series really disappoints me. Like, I'm mad because it's one of the best shows of the winter 2020 season, and I'm mad because it makes me feel like now Funimation is going to keep this show in a cage where no one can watch it unless something comes around and snatches it from them. I was reading that High Dive on Twitter had responded to somebody, and High Dive is a streaming app that the guys at Sentai Filmworks runs. They're saying that they're actually looking into it and seeing if they can showcase it on their streaming site, which would be awesome. Not just because I feel like Sentai Filmworks would be the better company to showcase Interspecies Reviewers, what with their work with Monster Musume and a plethora of other fan servicey shows, but, you know, from a personal preference, that means more than likely that they could do one of their kick-ass limited edition box sets for Interspecies Reviewers. I would buy that in a heartbeat. But anyway, the fact that Funimation has stopped streaming Interspecies Reviewers, which more than likely is breaking some sort of contract with, I think, Kadokawa and the original Japanese licensors. It's just bad. It's sad. It's upsetting. Not, like, super-duper upsetting. Granted, you know, it was awesome hearing the Funimation's bringing Paranoia Agent, which is an anime series I loved to death back in the early 2000s, directed by the great Satoshi Kon. They're finally bringing that back to America. That made me happy. But this is kind of like biting into a muffin, thinking it's chocolate chip, but instead it's like raisins. That's the best way for me to describe that feeling. But what I'm trying to say here is that Funimation made a really bad move when it came to taking down interspecies reviewers, which has had a great fan base since it launched at the beginning of January. It's not good. It's bad. It just looks nothing but bad for them. I've stood by Funimation for a lot of decisions, some of which myself and Wicked Anime, the guys over at Wicked Anime, we've had arguments over. Peaceful arguments, mind you. We're best buds, but we have peaceful arguments about certain aspects that Funimation has done that I agree with, they disagree with, and vice versa. This is just one move that I feel like is total bullshit. To borrow a phrase from one of my favorite YouTubers, Angry Joe, Funimation, you done fucked up. Thank you for listening to this post-podcast rant. Please enjoy your day. Hey guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.